the W of witnessing, but it is important. And what we're going to do now is we're going to look into the more practical aspects. How is it that I can go strike up a conversation, convince somebody of the gospel, and say that I did what I was supposed to do? Well, in essence, there's no magic phrase, folks. I have searched writings from as far back as I can find on the art and the ministry of giving the gospel, and I have found only one constant, and that is Scripture. Which means that what it really comes down to is one person starting an organic and natural conversation with another in which we discuss Scripture and the importance and value of their soul and what could potentially happen, but what is going to happen if they die without Christ. We recently had a death in our family, and it is difficult waters to navigate, especially when the person who passed away was staunchly against Christian things. I don't know where he stood with God, but he did not like God's things. He liked to drink. He liked to revel. He did a lot of things that a grown person his age should not do. When the doctors told him to stop living such an aggressively alcoholic life or an aggressively drunken life, he said, well, that's just what I'm going to do. And it killed him eventually. And that's very sad. But what it left behind was a daughter who stood at her dad's grave yesterday, placing a can of what killed him upon the freshly laid tombstone of her dad. And the warning that would go out to him time and time again is, hey, listen, if you do not repent, if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is what's going to happen. You will die. You will go to a sinner's hell where you will spend all eternity, not with your favorite rock stars, not cracking any beers open, not shooting things into your veins, but you will spend eternity there in torment, because that is what each and every one of us deserves as a broken part of creation. We deserve to be swept off into the garbage heap. But God in His mercy sent His Son to die on the cross. And you have that, oh, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. But when it comes down to it, that is the conversation we need to have with people. And what is perilous and what's frustrating is the amount of salesmanship and the amount of pomp and circumstance and big-headedness that comes into this. Well, what we'll do is we'll disguise the gospel as a music show. We'll disguise the gospel as a puppet show. We'll disguise the gospel as a fun story to watch. Now, again, I love inserting the gospel into everything we do. But what I don't agree with is watering down the gospel so that the kids will drink it. It's not the purpose. It's almost to the point to where when you read some of these people and you hear the way people talk about giving the gospel, it almost seems as though it's we're trying to trick people into salvation. No. And then some people, they come in and they make quite an awkward show of the conversation where they become this robot, this smiling, happy, fake mannequin, just, oh, praise the Lord, bless God, we're going to have a good day. Hey, can I discuss something with you for just a briefest of the moment on this wonderful day? If you don't talk like that on normal occasions, and you try to bring that out, guess what? They're going to smell that ain't right. People know when you're not you. Right? And I've heard some people say, well, I'm not an extrovert. I'm not out there. I'm not energetic. You don't have to be. Well, you don't understand. I'm not very, I don't talk a lot. You don't have to. Whatever makes up your personality, you give the gospel with that. That's what you need. See, so often people search, well, what kind of an effect do I put on? What kind of a show do I put on? What do I do with my face? What do I do with my hands? And okay, now at this point we do this. And I think the most tricky thing that I'll do, and even then I still feel kind of guilty about it, is when I'm going to talk to somebody at their door, I'll introduce myself while I'm handing them something. So I know that no matter what, they'll have reached out and grabbed it. Because we do have that automatic response, don't we? Somebody hands you something. Okay. So now I know even if you hang up, you shut the door on me or you walk away from me, at least I know you've walked away with something. That's about as far as I take it. But some folks, they'll say, all right, well, what you got to do is you got to get them into a series of yeses. Or you've got to get them into a position where they're vulnerable. So show up at the funeral home. Show up at the hospitals. Sit there and, okay, what's that? Your neighbor just had an ambulance out in front of their house. Well, tomorrow's the day you go over and you need to give them the gospel then when they're the most ready. What's that? You see a homeless person on the street. That is the perfect opportunity to give the gospel because they are what? Emotionally and mentally weak, as weak as they can possibly be. Folks, that's dirty. That's dirty. Right? That neighbor who had the ambulance out in front of their house should have already heard that from you. That guy on the street ought to hear it because you ran into him on the street. Also, the well-to-do, well-mannered person, you know, eating steak and lobster outside on the patio, they need the gospel just as much as the person begging for change does. We're not discriminate. We're not mean. We're not selective. We're not trying to score points on some cosmic board. What is the purpose? To take what the Word of God says and proclaim it. And to talk about it and to put that out there. And again, the way the conversation changes when it becomes you that's having that conversation. And instead of your best imitation of the person who taught you how to give the gospel. All right, let's grab our Bibles. Let's put a little Bible in our Bible study here. Psalm 126, verse 6. Psalm 126. So we have established that what it must be is a real conversation between two people about the Word of God. So let's deal with ourselves. What attitude must be there? Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Take a quick moment to kind of break this down. Number one, you have to go. You have to make the effort. Right? It is awkward at first. It is hard at first to find your rhythm. But eventually you'll put it out there. You know, I had a way of doing it at work where we'd get around to religious things. And sometimes people would ask me a question. I'd say, hey, listen, you know, I try not to push. But let me tell you what I read in the Bible. This is what God has to say. Well, Matt, the Catholics say this, you say that. Then I was raised in a group that did this. What do you think? No, well, let's look at the Bible. Forget me. Forget Pastor so-and-so. Forget father and mom, whatever. Let's look at what it says. And there we go. And why do we do that? Because I was told to go. Right, out in the highways and the hedges, so at work, at the grocery store, out on the street, in the backyard with my neighbor, I've got to have this conversation. So number one, I've got to go. Number two, we see weeping. Why should we be weeping? Because souls matter. People matter. Right? Again, we get into this us versus them mentality. It should be us versus a worldly philosophy, not us versus the world. I was talking to Brother Bone and Brother Reynolds about this yesterday. It's important for us to see that our warfare is different. Our warfare is fought with love. Right? Now, again, that's going to be different. You come to hurt my family, you come to do something like that, there's going to be a response. If I see that there's a danger to something, there's going to be a response. We treat dangerous things like dangerous things, but we're not going to find dangerous things in every person on earth, right? We're going to sit there, okay, you need the gospel. What about this person over here on death row? They did all this and that. They need the gospel. Do you understand that despite everything that they've done, when they die, they will go to hell. Well, he deserves it. No, we all deserve it. We ought to weep. Now, what about these kids that are getting caught up? Why do we get so upset about these young people and these adults that are caught up in these vain philosophies? Because we know where those vain philosophies take them. It should break our hearts. Why do I give the gospel? Not so I can put another notch in my Bible. Not so I can sit there and at the end of the year, we can put a big tally on the board and say, our church has saved 500 people this year. That is not the goal. The goal is souls matter. Yes, but brother, what about the doctrine of election? You can't tell which is which, so you treat them all the same. Right? We'll get to that. I don't know which one is which, so I'm going to treat them all the same. I'm going to give you the gospel as though you could be, because if I start trying to guess at the elect, I'm going to be wrong, because, to be honest, at any given point in your life, no one would have sat there and said, this person's going to drop what they're doing and serve the Lord. Right? If you took us all as kids playing on the playground, you wouldn't be able to tell us apart. God saved people like Paul. God saved so many that did not deserve it. I mean, you look through the line of great Christians that we know down through the years between us and the cross, and you'll see a bunch of people that did not deserve it. So I'm going to care. I'm going to care. You know what? This person may be getting on my nerves, but I am so conscientious of what hell is, I'm concerned for them. So I'm going to give them the gospel. Right? I'm gonna have a heart. We talked about this before, having a burden for lost souls. But there ought to be weeping. When was the last time? I've been asking these kind of questions a lot lately, I know. But when was the last time you wept over a soul? You wept over a soul, not got angry at it, not became contentious with it, not saw that it was lost and had a war with it, but you wept for it. The next passage of the script, or the next portion of the scripture, tells us exactly how to do it. Bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. There is a ministry out there, it's down south, can't remember, I think it's Kentucky. I believe they're still going. I haven't checked in with them since the pandemic, but it's called Bearing Precious Seed Ministries. And what they do is they create books of John and Romans. It's the book of John, book of Romans. Put that together. They'll slap a cover on it. You can buy them by the penny, or you could buy them by the materials. And your church can get together, and you can stamp them together, and you go and you pass them out. And we did that at Flat Rock at one time. One of their salespeople came up, and we talked to them for a while, and we had a cover with our name on it, and it was so cool. And we didn't do the stamping. We just ordered the books, and they came, and they brought them to us. We had them in Arabic, because a lot of us worked in the Dearborn area. So we had them in Arabic. We had them in English. Just pass those things out. And that's a wonderful thing. Why? Because that is the book of John and the book of Romans. Right? What are we doing? I mean, the whole point of their ministry, they sold regular-sized Bibles. They printed John and Romans in almost every language you could possibly have it in. Right? Just about. If there was a way to take the King James Version and put it into their language in a good way, in a accurate way, they did it. And they put those things out there. And they called it Bearing Precious Seed. Folks, what do we need to do? We need to bear precious seed. We need to take the Word of God and give it to people. Now, I'm not talking about a physical, give them the Bible and, hey, best of going for you, because the Bible is everywhere, right? You can't stumble without finding the Bible somewhere. You stay even at the sleaziest of hotels, you will find a Bible there. What must I do? I must have a conversation about it. Think of that Ethiopian eunuch. How can I unless somebody teach me? Somebody's got to explain this to me. And that's our job. That's our job. And again, to start those conversations, have those conversations, bring that up in there. Because I find so often when you talk about religion, one of the major points of consternation is your pastor versus my pastor, your priest versus mine, your imam versus my father over there at the rectory, you know, whatever. And we have these debates based on the words of men. And that's where we get into trouble. What we need to do is bring forth the Word of God. You know, I appreciated that devotion this morning. The book of Leviticus, I laughed. I go, the book of Leviticus is dense. You cannot go through the book of Leviticus, right? I can eat a salad and not think about it, but the book of Leviticus is more like one of those little Christmas cakes with 1,000 ingredients in it. Use it as a doorstop after a while. Fruitcake, thank you. It's dense. There's no cutting through that, right? You're going to take some time on that. You got to chew on that for a while, because Leviticus is filled with a lot of those things where it's blink and you miss it. You ought not to be blinking. I ought to be reading with the understanding that I'm eventually going to have to take this and give that to somebody. I chuckle because you hear so often, well, the way pastors and preachers study the Bible is different, because they study for themselves, and then they've also got to study to take that and to teach their flock. And I go, whoa, if we're bearing precious seed, we're all doing that. A little bit for me, a little, and when I'm reading this, I've got to have the kind of grip on it that means that I can carry this thing around and I can do something with it. It's got to be something that's functional in my hands. All right, so we've got that aspect of it. And we see in Luke 8:11 where it literally defines out the seed being the word of God. Your funny jokes, your conversational hacks, your quips and quotes will not do as much as the word of God does. Now, don't get me wrong, season up a little bit, right? But it is what we're doing is the word of God. Well, what I'll do, and you hear that in apologetics a lot. I struggle with apologetics because sometimes they go great lengths to do something the scripture is already doing. Right? Well, you got to convince people of the scripture. No, I got to convince people of God. If I can convince people of God, then the scripture, God will convince them of the scripture. All I got to do is get them to the cross. That's all I really got to do. But anyway, right? So we try to find all these logical epitaphs and all of these long drawn out conversations and arguments. And I'll say this, and then they'll always say this, and then I'll say this, and then they go, don't play games. Don't play games. Say what you got to say and make sure that the word is not just present, but it is the centerpiece. It is the focus of what it is we're doing. Because I tell you what, just as soon as I'll sit there and say that you must repent and believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior to be saved, there's 7 or 8 other churches out there that are going to say, hey, go be a good person. Hey, get into this water. Hey, donate this, do this, do that. If it comes down to that, we'll sit there and be arm wrestling all day. But when I bring out the word of God and I show them this is what it says, it is no longer a matter of me. It's no longer a matter of between us and the megachurch, us and the Catholic Church. It's thus saith the Lord, and what are you going to say about it? Right? This is what God has to say, and there's really no debate here. Right? Now, again, there's nothing wrong. Like, if you're a little bit like me, sometimes I get nervous. And I try to have, okay, well, I'm going to start off with this sentence. I'm going to say it like that. Or I've always got to have little things there, little bits of structure to keep my brain going on what it's supposed to be doing. But I think we all know the difference between having a plan of what I'm going to say, having verses memorized like what I'm going to say. And we'll cover this, having a tract on me prepared for what I'm going to say versus I'm showing up with a sales pitch in a briefcase. Does that make sense? I hope I'm doing a good enough job making a distinction there. All right, we see 1 Peter 1:23. It describes something to us here. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I've heard very popular pastors. I've heard pastors that were just really popular with me, you know. And I prefer the pastors that are popular with me versus the popular pastors. But anyway, I've heard them say this. Well, I used to say this in giving the gospel. In soul winning, I used to say this, but I don't say that anymore. And that we've all kind of had those moments. Want to know why? Because we realized that what we said wasn't quite accurate. You know what's accurate every single time? Word of God is. You ain't got to change it. You don't got to correct it. We don't have to find it. The Word of God is always accurate and always fits it. So again, don't try to come up with cute little things. You know, when I was doing dog training, I had all sorts of cute little tricks that I would do. I would sit there, I'd have my dog sit over by the training kiosk, and she'd be in a stay, and all these dogs would be coming past her and walking by, and everybody'd look at her, and if she sat still enough, when she was young, she'd sit still enough. People almost kind of every now and then thought she was a statue until she moved. They're like, is that real? Oh, that is a real dog. Right? As she got older, you easily tell that that was definitely a real dog. But anyway, that'd catch people's attention. And they go, oh, what a wonderful thing this is. And then I could be from anywhere. I got anywhere in the store. And she'd come right on over. She'd come right on over. That's how we call the dog at home. She'd come right on over to wherever I was. And I didn't do it often because, of course, it's a dangerous situation. Don't want to hurt my animal. But if I'm close to her, I'd put her there, and I'd be off over by the cash register. And I'd be off over here, and then I've got a question. I'd bring them over here, and then she'd come running. And no matter what, she'd stay right by my side, and I'd show them this. And, okay, well, my dog's kind of like your size dog, so we'd try collars on. It was a really good sales technique. It was really good. I mean, she was, for lack of a better phrase, the best coworker I ever had, right? Worked for literal scraps. she loved stuff. I mean, she got to try out treats. She got to do all sorts of. She had a great life there. But for the most part, what was she? She was my sales tool, right? We shouldn't be sitting there relying on fancy tricks and eye-catching things, and trying to impress people into the gospel. The Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. Be a real person having a real conversation, and people will see the genuineness, right? That's what we want. You can try to fake genuineness, but there's always that fake gloss, right? There's always that thing. You know, I like the flowers that we got up here. I think these are pretty. These are nice. But you know what? For those that know flowers, you could probably tell right off the bat that they're not right. If not, come back 3 weeks later and see that they haven't wilted, and that'll tell you there's something not quite right. You can fake it, but it won't do the job as being real you, having a real normal conversation, right, about what the Word of God says about eternity. So we want to make sure that we have that. We also want to make sure that we're not using corruptible things like our own ideas or our little tricks that we've stolen from things, but we also want to make sure that we're using the Word of God and we're using it correctly. We want to make sure that we're using it correctly. Now, in order for us to be able to be in that position, we have to have a certain level of readiness to us, right? We've got to be ready. I like the cards that we have. I've had a lot of really good conversations with those cards. The door knockers are okay too, but you should have something, you know, a tract on you. We've got tons of tracts laying around here. Grab them up, get them out. We've got a lot of things that we can just, here, it's a good conversation starter. You know, if you're nice to your waiters and waitresses, leave it on the table. If you're mean, don't. Don't. If you're one of those people that complains about the crunchiness of your waffle and you scream at the waitress, don't bother mentioning them the Lord's name. Lord doesn't want that behavior associated with them. But no, have that ready. Have some verses memorized. You should have some verses memorized anyway, but have some specifically for the sake of giving the gospel, right? Now, every now and then, you know, you kind of revamp that. Go, all right, well, I've had these for a really long time, right? But I'm getting these kind of questions. My conversations are going into this direction a lot. Let's add to it. Let's cover those bases with some scripture. You should have your Bible on your phone. You should have your Bible readily accessible to you. Some people go, I don't have a smartphone. I don't want to do that. That's fine. Have a good old-fashioned Bible with you. That's, to me, still one of my favorites. I like to just flip through that. I've got a little tiny one that I've got, and there it is. But we should not just have the Word of God, but know where to go with it, know what it says, and be able to use it. I mean, again, we treat the Word of God, we say that it's the sword, right? It is our sword. You should be good at using it. Should be good at using it, right? So always make sure that you've got things like your Bible, you got your tracts. You should know your church address. Do you know the address to the church? You should know the address to the church. You should know the phone number to the church. If you've got my phone number, that'll ring straight to me too. If you've got the church phone number, I've got that ring to come straight to me as well. So it doesn't matter. Every now and then some of you will call and I'll say Home Baptist Church because it's an area code from this area. It's an 810 number, but I don't have it saved. So either you called the church number or I just don't have that particular number for you saved. So I answer that way because that's typically what that number means. Right? So have that memorized. All right, well, where do you guys go to church? Oh, Home Missionary Baptist Church. Great. What's the address on that? Let me look that up. know, if you've been here for a few decades, you ought to know where you go to church. You ought to know that address, right? Ought to know a phone number. Ought to know where to send people when we invite them to church. Next thing, and I think it's one of the more important things in there as far as what you're carrying with you, and that is a consciousness for souls. A consciousness that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Right? I get busy. All right, Danielle wants these four things from the grocery store. I got to stop and get an oil change. I've got to run over here, and I'm going through my day. And how many people do I pass by, and I haven't had a single conversation? And if I do a few days like that, a whole week passes by, a couple weeks, that's a month, and before you know it, I've completely fallen out of the habit of having conversations about the Lord. And that's sad for a pastor, sad for a church member, sad for anybody. We need to be soul conscious. We need to be looking around going, all right, there's a person right there. Here's an opportunity. Here we are at the tire shop. Let's have this conversation. Here we are waiting in line for this. Here I am at the hospital and we're walking out and there's this very chatty lady. And, you know, while we're here, let's go ahead and talk about, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. I go to this church. And, hey, you know, it's big important for us to understand where you're going when you die. Do you know? Well, no, I don't. Well, all right. Well, here we are having the conversation. Hey, let's come on over here. Let's pray for a second about your loved one up there. Here's the address to the church. I'd like to see you on a Sunday. We put that effort in. Right? Well, what if they're not one of the elect? It doesn't matter. How many people you see come into a church and leave after a few weeks? You think you're going to trick the Lord? You think you're going to trick the elect? You're not. Get them in here. Get them in here. Now, again, I'm not causing for numbers. I'm not calling for anything like that. I'm just simply stating we don't know who's who. Right? Get them in here as best you can. But have that conversation. Be soul conscious. Now, some folks, they like the Romans Road. And I'm not going to knock. You guys have heard of the Romans Road, right? How to get people, you've never heard of the Romans Road? All right, so basically it's a string of verses in the book of Romans that you can memorize. And you can say those to people. And I think that's great. I mean, that's a good thing to have. But what I also challenge people is don't leave it just to the book of Romans. Have more, right? Have more. Be more versatile than that. My biggest concern with the Romans Road, I go, this is powerful. This is great because it is the Word of God. But be more versatile. Have more in your toolbox than just that. Don't rely on that. I knew some of them go, well, I pass out these verses in Romans. I pass them out to people, and that's good enough. No, have conversations about them. Have adjoining verses that go along with those things. Really put in the effort because, by the way, this is our life's work. So put some care into it, right? Put some effort into it. It's got a small. I got a small sampling of it here in our notes. But if ever you're interested in that, I can get you a full copy of those verses in Romans. But again, versatility. Really, really stock that toolbox. Don't just leave it at the one. Right? To me, Romans Road is like going to the hardware store and getting that one toolbox. My mom had that pink toolbox. It had a little pink hammer, had a pink wrench inside of it, and every single last one of those tools worked. But if you're fixing a car, you don't want that. You know, if you're doing a big project, like if you're fixing something around the house, love the little toolbox. Keep that right up next to the sink. But that's the Romans Road. It's a great, powerful toolbox. But man, there are a lot better and cooler tools. Well, not better, but there's a lot of cool tools that you can have. A lot of cool things that you could use, and not just that. And we'll be done there. There's a few more things to look at. But again, the whole point of this is to get them into the conversation. And we're going to look at the art of that conversation, if I can use that phrase, next week, Lord willing. Heavenly Father,